As we have seen, if shares are awarded to an employee and the shares are subject to forfeiture within 5 years of being awarded, there is no charge to tax at the date of the initial award. Instead, there is a charge to tax when the risk of forfeiture is removed. This charge is based on the market value of the shares at the date the restriction is lifted. This was covered in the illustration in the first part of this session involving Frank. However, in this case, the employer and employee can jointly elect for the exemption on acquisition not to apply. The election is irrevocable and should be made within 14 days of the award of the shares. There is no requirement to send the election to HMRC, but it must be kept on file by the company in case of an inquiry. Once an election is made, a charge to tax will arise on the initial award of the shares. This is calculated in the same way as if the restriction did last for more than 5 years, i.e., by taking the restricted value of the shares at date of award and deducting the amount paid by the employee for the shares, to give the amount treated as employment income. If the shares are later forfeited or are sold for less than their restricted market value, there is no possibility of recovering the tax paid on the initial award. After this initial charge, there is then a further charge when the restriction is subsequently lifted, based on the formula in Section 428. The effect of the election is to compute the amount taxed as employment income in the same way as if the risk of forfeit lasts for 5 years or more from the award of the shares. As we will see, the election can reduce the overall tax charge. We will return to the illustration of Frank and Chatsworth Limited covered earlier. In June 2008, Chatsworth Limited awarded Frank, an employee, 6,000 shares in Chatsworth Limited for £1 per share. The market value of the shares in June 2008 was £2.50. The shares are subject to being forfeited in return for £1.20 per share if Frank leaves Chatsworth Limited within 3 years of the award. Frank remained in employment and the forfeiture risk was duly lifted in June 2011 when the shares are worth £4.75. Let's revisit the solution. As considered previously, if no election is made under Section 425, no charge arises on the initial award of the shares in 2007-08, as the shares were at risk of forfeiture within 5 years. A charge will arise in 2010-11 when the risk is lifted. As per the screen, the amount treated as employment income in 2010-11 will be £17,100. We will now consider the effect of an election under Section 425. A charge now arises on the initial award of the shares in 2007-08. This is calculated as follows. We take the restricted value of the shares at the date of the award. This is 6,000 shares at £1.20, giving £7,200. We then deduct the amount paid by the employee for the shares, being £6,000, giving an amount treated as employment income of £1,200. A further charge arises in June 2010, when the risk of forfeiture is lifted, based on the Section 428 formula. In this case, UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the risk of forfeiture is lifted, in this case £4.75. IUMV is the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, in this case £2.50, and DA is the amount paid for the shares, being £1, plus the amount charged as employment income on acquisition, being 20p. The formula therefore gives an amount treated as employment income of £14,820. We finally compare the charges. The total amount charged without an election is £17,100. The amount charged to tax with an election is £1,200 on the initial award, plus a further £14,820 when the risk of forfeit is lifted, giving a total charge of £16,020. The reduction in employment income as a result of the election is therefore £1,080. In this instance, an election would have been beneficial, even taking into account the cash flow disadvantage of having to pay some tax in the year of the initial award. Section 425 elections will be advantageous where the employee remains in employment and therefore does not forfeit the shares, and the shares increase in value between the date of the award and the date that the restrictions are lifted. However, an election can have the effect of increasing the tax liability where either the shares are forfeited, as the tax paid on the initial award will not be refunded, or the shares fall in value between the date of the award and the date that the restrictions are lifted. Bearing in mind that an election must be made within 14 days of the initial award, if it is to take effect, both employer and employee are guessing at the eventual outcome. A wait-and-see approach is not therefore possible. Next, we will consider shares which are subject to restrictions other than the risk of forfeiture. A common example of this is that shares are awarded to an employee, but the employee is restricted as to either when or to whom the shares can be sold. For instance, shares can be awarded to an employee, but with the condition that they cannot be sold for a certain period of time. This restriction will obviously depress the value of the shares at the time of the award. If such restricted shares are awarded, two charges to tax arise. Firstly, a charge to tax will arise under Section 62 ITEPA 2003 at the time the shares are issued. This will be calculated by taking the restricted value of shares at the date of acquisition and deducting the amount paid by the employee for the shares. A further charge will arise when the restriction is lifted, based on the Section 428 formula where UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the restriction is lifted, IUMV is the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, and DA is the amount paid by the employee for the shares plus the amount taxed as employment income when the shares were initially awarded. You will see, therefore, that the rules for shares subject to other restrictions are the same as those for shares subject to forfeit after 5 years or more. Let's run through an illustration. Yvonne works for Carib Limited. On the 5th of January 2008, she is given 5,000 shares in Carib Limited. The shares were valued at £10 each in January 2008. The shares are awarded free of charge. However, a condition of the offer is that Yvonne is prohibited from selling the shares until the 6th of January 2011. The effect of this restriction is to depress the value of Yvonne's shares, as at January 2008, to £8 per share. Yvonne waits until the 7th of January 2011, at which point she sells her shares for £12.50 each. We will calculate the amount to be treated as employment income. Yvonne has restricted shares, so two charges to tax will arise. First, there will be a charge to tax on acquisition in January 2008. The charge on acquisition is the restricted value of shares at the date of award, being 5,000 shares at £8, giving £40,000, less the amount paid by the employee for the shares, in this case nil, giving employment income of £40,000. A further charge arises when the restriction is lifted in January 2011, based on the formula in Section 428. In this case, UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the restriction is lifted, being £12.50. IUMV is the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, being £10, and DA is the amount paid by the employee for the shares, being nil, plus the amount taxed as employment income when the shares were initially awarded, being £8. The further charge will therefore come out to be £12,500.
So far we have dealt with restricted securities, which are only subject to one restriction. We have looked at shares which are subject to forfeiture, or shares which have other restrictions, such as restrictions related to when they can be disposed of. However, we also need to deal with the situation where the employment-related securities are subject to more than one restriction. For example, an employee could be given shares which are subject to forfeiture if the employee leaves the employment within 3 years, and which cannot be sold within 5 years of the date of the award. We need to be able to calculate the tax charge on acquisition, if any, and when each of the restrictions is lifted. We deal with these situations by building upon the rules we have already looked at. There is no change in the way we calculate the charge on the actual award of the shares. So, if the shares are subject to a forfeiture restriction, which will be lifted within 5 years, there is still no charge at the date of award. This is even though the shares may continue to be restricted securities after this date by virtue of some other restriction. In any other case, the charge on award will be calculated as normal. In other words, we take the restricted value of shares at the date of award and deduct the amount paid by the employee for the shares. There will be a charge to tax when the first restriction is lifted. As usual, this is calculated using the formula in Section 428 ITEPA 2003. But this time, we need to consider the full version of the formula contained in the legislation, which is UMV multiplied by IUP less PCP less OP, as shown on the screen. As before, UMV is the unrestricted market value of the shares, ignoring any remaining restrictions. IUP is the proportion of the initial value which has not been charged to tax. PCP is the proportion charged on a previous event. OP is the proportion of share value still subject to restrictions. The same formula will be used to calculate any subsequent amounts charged under Section 428. Let us consider an illustration. Jed was awarded 10,000 shares in ATL Limited by ATL Limited, his employing company, in June 2007. Jed paid 20 pence per share. The unrestricted market value of the shares in June 2007 was £2 per share. However, the shares are subject to forfeiture if Jed leaves ATL Limited within 3 years of the date of award. In addition, the shares cannot be sold within 6 years of the date of the award. As a result of these restrictions, the actual market value of the shares at the date of award is 50 pence per share. Jed remains employed by ATL Limited, so the forfeiture restriction is lifted in June 2010. At this point, the restricted value of the shares is £1.20 per share, as a result of the sale restriction, and the unrestricted value is £3 per share. Finally, the sale restriction is lifted in June 2013, when the market value of the shares is £4 per share.